All right. Well, what Pastor Mobley is going to be doing here today is it's not really part of the series that he's going to be talking through, but something else that's very intertwined with his job, which is, again, he's the president of the Bible school and the seminary. And so we invited him to share a little bit about that and his ministry there. And I'm just going to say, you know, as one, I've been on both sides of this, and I'm at the point now in life, I came out of a different Lutheran body, and I say that I wish I had known the Bible school existed when I was going to college, because I probably would have gone there and probably would have loved it, but I didn't know it existed. So I ended up on a different path. But from my experience in ministry, every one of our church members who had attended and graduated from the Bible school had such a vibrant faith, number one, and number two, they were always some of the most involved and active members of our congregation, which I know that's part of the school's goal, to train people to go back out into their congregations, to minister in their congregations, and just to bless the congregations in that way. And so I can't say enough about the schools positively from the pastoral end. And as I was sharing with Pastor Mobley at snack time, just seeing how good it's been for my oldest daughter down there too, from the parental standpoint, it's fantastic. And so just my word of encouragement to all you young people, really consider it and pray about going to the Bible college. And I know there's a lot of reasons and excuses people give not to go, and perhaps Pastor Mobley will address that. I don't know what exactly is in his presentation. But taking 2 years out of your life to go to Bible college is not a waste, even if none of those credits transfer into your later college, and I think some of them will. But even if none of them do, it is not a waste of your time or money. And like we were also talking, I want parents to hear that message more than the kids, because a lot of times we as parents, we struggle with that, and we, you know, just so intent on rushing our kids through school and getting them out and independent that we don't consider how important this can be for them. And so again, please listen to Pastor Mobley, and he's going to talk about this wonderful program that we support as a church. We support our kids who go there. You know, we hate to talk about pride in the church, but I am very thankful for our church leadership, and of course the congregation too, because you vote on the budget. But every one of our church kids who go to the Bible college, you get a $4,000 scholarship per year from our church, $2,000 per semester. And so that's about, what, a third of the cost, I mean, with room and board.
I mean, that's in fact, if you don't, unless you're like lazy, you're going to pay your way through.
Right.
And that's all you need. Because you can't really work a part-time job and pay for it all starting from zero. But starting from that, you sure can.
Right. And so, anyways, that's just one way our church wants to encourage our young people and families to send your kids down there. We want to put our money where our mouth is. You know, we say this is a good thing. We're going to try to encourage you in that way to go as well. But let's just pray real quick. I want to give Pastor Mobley as much time as he can to share about the schools. Well, Lord, we do thank you again for this time, and we thank you for both the adults and the young people who are here today, and we also do praise you and thank you for our schools. And not only do we thank you for our schools, but we thank you for the faculty that are there, and we also thank you for the content that is taught. We are thankful that we have a school to which we can send our young people, which will teach to them the Word of God is just that, as the Word of God, not as something to be questioned or doubted, but as something to be embraced and believed. And Lord, we just pray for our young people who are attending there right now, for our young people who are considering going there in the future, that, Lord, you would just bless them as they make use of this great resource that our association provides. And so we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Boy, that's we should take him on the road. That's pretty good, Kent. Thank you for reading that script I gave you. No, just kidding. That's great. You forgot that part about me being a great guy and one of your closest friends. All right, that's all right. Okay, that's a joke. This part of the shtick. So, all right. Since he got us going on a really good footing there, I want to do a thing here. So, okay. We did a survey because people who went to the Bible college about when I did, it was AFLBS, right? Association Free Lutheran Bible School. Hard to explain. to somebody who doesn't know. What are you an association of? I don't know, but that's us. Anyway, I went there. I had gone to college first, went to Bible school second. When I was there, I think we paid $6,000 or $7,000 a year, tuition, room, and board. We had record enrollment, and we were multiple six figures in debt because we weren't charging enough, okay? So now we're up around $13,000 a year, which adjusted for inflation is about $7,000 a year then, so still not much more. However, people who say, oh, it's so expensive. When I was there in 1964, it was only $132. Okay, so, it's not 1964 anymore, please. So we did a quick survey on what it costs to go to college various places, and this is what we came up with. Going to college is more expensive than not going to college. Right? I've got a math background, so that's how I know that one. Going to college is more expensive than not going to college. In fact, staying at home and living in your parents' basement forever is less expensive than ever going to college. So keep that in the back of your mind, right? Okay, so this is your chance. Okay. However, if you do choose to go to college, we found one place in the five-state region that is less expensive than the Free Lutheran Bible College. It's a two-year state-supported tech school in Moorhead, and if you live with your parents and go to that school, it's less money than going to Bible school, okay? So that said, we are a very inexpensive place to go to college, about $13,000 a year, tuition, room, board, books. Costs about $25,000, but donors bring that price down, and then generous congregations like yours, that's really good. That's really good. In fact, I don't think you want to do much more than that because you got to have some skin in the game. Okay, that's good. That's very good. Thank you. Okay, so there's that. So it is inexpensive. Increasingly, credits transfer to other schools. We are accredited now. That helps. Now, I've got a bunch of post-secondary education with a pretty good GPA, and if I apply for Harvard, guess how much they're going to take? None of it. Nobody ever has to take your credits. There's no rule about that, really. Okay. But because we are accredited, it is an easier conversation to have, and increasingly, more places are taking those credits. So it can go towards your degree. Micah Blake, any Micah Blake fans in here? Do you like him or not? He's kind of, yeah, okay, all right. Okay, so Micah Blake's going, he's getting pilot's training at UND. They took two full years of credits at UND. And I wanted to make sure that they didn't take, major profits instead of a flight course, because that's not good. You can't transfer in credits that don't have anything to do with your major. So there's that, right? So you can't sub in the Gospel of John for a physics course. It doesn't work like that. But increasingly, places are taking our credits. So working with other colleges, and we are trying to find places where you can continue on with a similar worldview as ours, where you can be trained to be whatever, and you can get out of there, maybe it won't be 4 years, but maybe it'll be 5 years, and you've got a two-year Bible college training and experience with all the benefits that go along with that. So it works out. Okay, now this is my thesis, though. This is what I'm setting up. I contend that if Bible college were the most expensive choice you were considering, and none of the credits transferred, it's still worth it. So I'm not here to sell you a cheap deal or a credit transfer or a way to get out of Northwestern College without paying, $44,000 a year. Okay. I'm here to tell you that the best thing you can do as a young person coming out of high school is to find some place where you can get grounded in God's word so that wherever you go and whatever life has for you, you will meet it in a world that is defined by the word of God. Looking at the world through the lens of God's word, understanding God's world through the lens of God's word. And so that's what we do there, and I'm going to show you a little bit about that. Okay, we have two 11-year-olds at home. When we adopted Hannah, my wife was the first person to hold Hannah. So Hannah, she was in the delivery room. We were 2 weeks pregnant with Ben and didn't know it at the time. So fun fact, Ben was in the delivery room for his older sister's birth. You know, how many people can say that? So, and we didn't know it at the time, and that's, you know, it's kind of a punchline around our house. Okay, so we have two kids. They're essentially Irish twins. You know, they're 8.5 months apart, best friends. You know, they're a lot, yeah, you guys know them. They're still cute, but not quite as cute. Because Ben, he doesn't talk like this anymore. It was so cute when he was. He's so adorable, Hannah. Okay, all right. So, but Ben and Hannah, they're the best. Okay, they're the best. Okay. Great kids. I love them. Okay. When they were born, I didn't hold them in my arms and say, oh, Lord, I just hope to give this child every opportunity in youth sports so he can learn how to play basketball and gain exposure for major college programs and maybe earn a scholarship and end up in the NBA. Lord, this is what I desire for Benjamin. Oh, Lord God, please help Hannah to get her degree very, very quickly so she can get on with her life and not waste time actually laying a foundation for her future. I want her to have a bachelor's degree at 22 and go out and make money because that's what's most important in the world. Okay. Okay, we don't do that with our babies, do we? Oh, but we change our mind between 0 and 18, don't we? And we start laying our children on the altar of youth sports. And remember, I'm a basketball guy. I mean, we just built a stinking gymnasium worth $9.6 million. So I'm kind of invested in the ministry and sports leadership training thing. But we lay our children on the altar of youth sports. And then when we teach them that life isn't about money, and then say, you know, you really ought to get on with your life and get your degree so you can make money. Well, is there more to life than making money? Again, I would like to suggest that maybe there are worse things in the world than graduating with a bachelor's degree at age 24. I mean, it's not nearly as old as they think it is. Yeah, a bachelor's degree at 24 with 2 years of foundational training that will benefit you no matter where you go or what life brings your way, I think it's a very, very good investment. Trivia question, are you ready? Who's a trivia nerd? Somebody's a trivia nerd in here. Who's a trivia nerd? Usually it's a youth group kid. Where's Blake Martin when I need him? All right, okay. All right. Okay, so 4-year programs, 4-year college programs. What percentage, you can look all this stuff up online, what percentage of students who enter a 4-year college program complete their degree in 6 years or less? 4-year program, 6 years or less. That's how the government tracks it. 1X, 1.5X. Okay? Any guesses? Yes, it is less than 75%. But, you know, Mars is heavier than me. So.
30%?
Closer. 21%. Average FLBC grad. Now, this isn't apples to apples, and here's why. Okay? Because we don't have like a random. Our population is not random, so you can't really do apples to apples. Our population is highly self-selected, right? It's not like people wake up in the morning and just randomly go to FLBC. You know, there's usually some real volition involved with that. So, okay, so our grads, they get done, including Bible college, they get done in 5.5 years. 5.5 years average. Okay, now, that's across the board, people who take forever, people who I get done right away, you name it. Okay, so here's my point. The average FLBC grad gets their bachelor's degree before the average non-FLBC grad. Are you with me? Now, you change majors one time. How many of you changed majors in college? Anybody changed majors? You did not change majors? Really? You didn't? Wow. You added one? Yeah, okay. So I changed majors. Almost everybody changes majors. You change majors one time, it's not a 4-year program anymore. So anyway, so there's all kinds of that. All right, what else to do? Oh, better yet, this is a better number. Number of students who entering a 2-year program, like a vocational school, you know, 2-year associate's program, percentage of students who complete the associate's program in 3 years or less. So 1.5 times the 2-year program. Any guesses? You're going to be shocked. It's less than 75%. 5%. Okay. So when you hear about free community college, keep in mind that it already is free almost everywhere. And 1 in 20 students who enter those two-year programs finish those programs in 3 years or less. Okay. My point on all this, as COVID has exposed, higher education is it's a farce. It's a facade. It's you have to do your homework and figure out what you're getting for your money. Because if you can sit at home on your computer and not miss a beat, then why are they telling you to come to their campus and spend money on their expensive food plans and expensive dorms and expensive buildings? Okay, they're not charging $13,000 a year. All right. Okay. All right. So there we are. Enough of that. That's some of my favorite stuff to talk about, though. Okay. Start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's word. But what does it look like to start there? The go anywhere part is wherever you go in life, there's a benefit, a foundational benefit to it. So I ask students, I need to pick on somebody without picking on them because I don't want to alienate them. Seth, who's safe? Brooklyn. Hi, Brooklyn. Brooklyn, what do you want to do when you grow up? You want to be a teacher. Okay, what's the difference between, what difference does it make to be a Christian and a teacher versus being a non-Christian and a teacher? What difference does it make? Yeah, it does. How you teach and also your why, I think, right? Okay, so and that's a good answer. That question could be asked of any, what's the difference between an engineer and a Christian engineer? Now, I want my engineers to do math and not just trust Jesus, right? But there's a difference. What is the benefit? What is the societal benefit to building something? Why am I doing this? So those questions, no matter what you do, your why is deeply impacted by your worldview. And if your worldview is not colored by Christ, it will be colored by something else. So start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's word. Well, what does it look like to start here? Our admissions team put together this little three-part, and I like it a lot. Scripture without distraction. So we study mainly scripture or applications of God's word. We don't do gen ed, so you don't get an associate's degree. You don't do math, you don't do science, you don't do English. Now, I'm not saying that's not a benefit. I love all of those areas, and I take pains to try to connect students to understanding that everything in the world has some connection to God through his word, right? But what we're there for is to study scripture. So two-thirds of our classes are exegetical, so going through the Bible book by book, verse by verse, taking God's word or taking truth out of God's word and applying it to life. The other one-third applies those truths to various areas of life and ministry. That's scripture without distraction. The second one is discipleship without distance. There are all kinds of really good ways to get data through distance education or online classes or even things that aren't for credit. In fact, there are some really good Bible classes and apologetics, like the stuff I'm teaching tonight. There are way better presentations available online than what you're going to get tonight. But I'm here! I ate your cooking. I mean, there's a relationship being built, that kind of thing. So there's something about, the world is not two-dimensional. The world is not flat. We're precious, eternal human souls. We're human beings. And if this last year did anything, it convinced us that we need more than electronic remote interaction. Amen? Okay, we need each other. So I had, it used to be I'd have people talking to me about, when are you going to take the Bible school online or the Bible college online? And I'd get that like twice a week. And through COVID, it just went away. And I got one about a month ago. Somebody called me and asked me that. Here's my response. I said, really? I mean, quite literally, yeah, sure. I thought 2020, I thought we kind of smoked the whole pack and got over our habit right away. So, all right, ministry within the congregation. First fundamental principle in the Free Lutheran Church is that the congregation is the right form of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, your congregation is not the only place, but it is one manifestation of the place of all Christians, all believers, everywhere, at all times, united in Christ. You'll never see it with your eyes until the shores of eternity. What we do see is imperfect as it is and localized as it is, we see the congregation. And so the ministry that we have in our lives, it certainly is in the sphere of our nation. It's certainly in the sphere of our family, but it is exercised in the sphere of the congregation. The congregation is the primary place where we do ministry. So we try to prepare students, and we take pains at this, to connect them to the local congregation. Now, I understand that when you're 18 years old and you come to the big city, you're not going to pursue church membership like you would if you had a family and were settling down for a long period of time. There's a high degree of kick the tires and find out where, you know, where people are going or whatever else, and you're just kind of wandering around. We try to get them in age-appropriate ways to stick in congregations. And the number one thing that starts that causes that, is when they visit a congregation and the congregation grabs them and feeds them kookin. Okay, so we don't have, I'm going to be stuck on kookin. There's a woman in our church who made kookin in Sioux Falls, and it's delightful. It's a German-Russian delicacy. What can you say? You grab them, you feed them, you invite them over to your house, you treat them like precious eternal human souls because that's what they are, and then they stick in the congregation. So we try to prepare them for that in the classroom and in the dormitories to prepare them for congregational ministry that lies ahead. And I agree with what you're saying, Pastor Sperry. When I was in Sioux Falls, we'd have students come to Sioux Falls who had graduated from the Bible college. We grabbed them, we put them to work. They were our best members, and they were ready to go in ways that they were not age-appropriate ways. These were 22 to 26-year-olds who were wise beyond their years and ready to go because of the training that they had received, not just in the classrooms, but also in the dormitories. So scripture without distraction, discipleship without distance, ministry within the congregation. Okay, I'm going to give you a bit of a tour now. This is kind of a fun thing. That's me taking a tour through the new Student Life Center. What we do is not about the building, but there's something about, like, well, when you remodeled this sanctuary, 5 or 6 years ago, this feels romantic. Okay, when you remodeled this, it's kind of cool, right? You know, that altarpiece, that's sweet. That is really nice, especially when all the lights are off. Don't do it. Okay, it's really sweet. What you do here is not about the building, right? Okay, but isn't this a neat facility? Facility, it comes from Latin root word facile. Those of you who know Spanish or French or something, it means to make easier possible. A facility makes the ministry of your congregation easier possible. And that's what the new Student Life Center does on our campus. We're very, very thankful for it. $9.6 million plus furnishings, expensive building. But because of some generous donors and very low interest rates, we were able to get this thing done, and we're very thankful for it. Let me give you a tour. First of all, that is, I can see it better than you can, I'm sorry, but that's a sweet picture from about a year ago. You could see, if you were up close to that, you could see Minneapolis way out there on the horizon. It is about 15 minutes if there's no traffic, 45-minute bike ride to Target Field, but it's a long way away, you know, as far as the city goes. People in Plymouth don't really go to Minneapolis very much at all. It's a suburban feel. Beautiful green city. Sorry to rub it in. It just rains there all the time. The people start talking drought language in Minneapolis, and my wife just shakes her head because she remembers, you know, the 80s. So, okay, that's an overhead of our campus. There's a lake. This is a drone, and there's a lake right behind the drone, a really big metropolitan lake that everybody says is one of the most beautiful lakes in Minneapolis, and it really is. Okay, but here's the thing about Minneapolis lakes. Don't eat the fish, right? Okay, just don't eat the fish. Go to Kevin's house, eat his fish. So, okay. All right. That's a winter view. You can see Minneapolis a little more clearly, and you can see the Student Life Center under construction a few months ago in the back of the dorms. Men's dorm on the right, men's dorm on the right, women's dorm on the left. Believe it or not, there's a lawsuit right now. You're not allowed to have men's and women's dorms. That's currently in court. And that's not just a Title IV government funding of education thing. That's housing and urban development. So that could actually be enforced on our campus, where it would be illegal to have men's and women's dorms because that's discriminatory because it is binary. God help us. All right. I don't know where that's going to go, but it's being adjudicated, and I don't think that's going to become a thing. Don't worry, we're not going to cave on that stuff. We're way tougher than that. But anyway, men's dorm on the left, women's dorm on the left, men's dorm on the right. Heritage Hall, front and center, that was built in 2003. So when I was there as a student, we didn't even have Heritage Hall. You know, so our classes were in the first floor of the dorms. Offices were in the chapel building. The cafeteria and the library, now big and spacious, those were jammed into the chapel. We had 189 students on a campus built for 160 without Heritage Hall. And somehow or another, we weren't crazy. It was a great time. It really was a great, great time. So, another view is Student Life Center. After dark, kind of nice. Those of you who know Ivor Berge, he sold lights for a living, and so he's on the building committee and got us some really sweet lights. That's from the first game, end of February. There are bleachers on one side, and those bleachers all have backs on them, and that's open to the top. You'll see a coffee shop and concessions and commons area. Students just hang out there all the time. It's great. So bleachers on one side and then open to the top. Fireplace, some soft seating. I'm trying to figure out a way to not let anybody sit there except for me, but somebody said that looks like selfish and self-centered and bad leadership or something, but whatever. Okay, very nice. Big classroom. By the way, that's a joke. You with me, right? That's my sense of humor. Sometimes kids don't get it, and then And my wife says, Wade, you wouldn't always have to. So, okay. Big classroom that we don't absolutely need right now. Our campus holds 160 if the male-female ratio is right. The male-female ratio is never right. So we say 150 is full. Right now we're at 94, which coming out of COVID, I mean, I'll take it. We had a contingency plan for 80, and 20% of private colleges did not make it through COVID. Did you know that? It just if you want to buy slightly used classroom furniture, now's your chance. All right, so it's been a very, very hard year on private education. So I feel very thankful. I think we'll have about 60 students come in and join 40 to 42, so we'll be up over 100 again. But we really want to get to 150. We budget for 115. We could do 130 without adding a single person or building. So that's kind of our tipping point. I want to get to 130 yesterday, and I want to get the place full right away. We've got room for two more dorms, though, that would hold a total of 300 on campus just in the Bible college program, plus 40 in seminary. We've got 12 seminary housing units, and we've got room to train more pastors for the AFLC. This classroom is not an absolute necessity right now, but it is going to be our best, highest-tech classroom. We'll use it for live streaming, continuing education events, like this summer's Summer Institute of Theology. I don't think we're going to live stream that, but we'll record it. We bring in speakers and instructors from the AFLC and also outside of the AFLC to train current pastors and lay people at a high level in a condensed amount of time, not for degree purposes, but simply for training purposes. And it's a lot of fun. That is really one of my favorite weeks of the year. You get a bunch of lay pastors who did not have seminary training, who need some training to help them out because they just never had it, or you get pastors who are really looking for some, you know, brushing up a little bit or some fellowship and some encouragement. You get all these people who really want to be there together on campus, do a little bit of studying, have a whole lot of fun together. It's a fun week. It's really an encouraging week. So that's looking across the courts on the left, big window on the right, goes down into the parking lot, big retaining wall, 2-foot steps, no railing, so people just kind of sit out there in the sun. It's fantastic. Artificial turf, so it doesn't get wet as much. So the commons area, the coffee shop's at the far end. That coffee shop will be open just a little bit. It's not like you make money on a coffee shop with a campus our size. Concessions during games is going to make money. But the coffee shop is more or less a student service. Nice to have a good cup of coffee, and we are serving good coffee. And that whole space is full of tables and chairs now, like that. There it is, full court press, coffee and concessions. almost ready to go. We just have to plumb them in. Hopefully it'll be ready this week, and we can get our health inspection and do it next week. Four locker rooms. We hope to use this facility for other types of events, too, like youth basketball tournaments. We're developing a ministry through sport emphasis to teach our students how to use sports as a ministry to people around us. In suburban cities, you know, suburban areas, youth sports is kind of cliche. In the inner city, it's not at all. And I think in small town America, it's also still a very useful tool. So I'd like to teach our students how to use sports as a leadership training and discipleship tool, and also to reach young children and their families. Think of a sports motivated like VBS. So you do a basketball camp with some Bible teaching as a day camp. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I mean, there's a chance you could do that right over in the gym over there. So pretty cool. We're thinking about doing a summer team that way, by the way. I think that would be a nice little twist. Four locker rooms, though, so we can bring through a bunch of teams. Oh, homeschool basketball league. A ton of people in Minnesota homeschool. It's something like 20% of students in Minnesota homeschool. Well, you know why. Okay, so anyway, and you would too, right? It's just a little different. So the school that my kids go to, yeah, I'm certainly not against, you know, sending your kid to public school or whatever. Please don't mistake me. So we homeschool for some other reasons. Even if we had a good public school, we would choose to homeschool for some other reasons. We do not have a good public school where we are. So it's really not a choice for many, many parents. There are homeschool sports leagues. Some of them are pretty good. And one of them is going to be using our gym as their home court. So we'll get all these other teams. People don't know we're there. That's the number one reason they don't come. They don't know we're there. And now they will. So I think we're going to get full up pretty quick. Nice scoreboard. Daktronics. That's Brookings, South Dakota. I was an engineering student at SDSU, and Daktronics came out of the electrical engineering program at SDSU. Would you believe that that did not get us a discount on that scoreboard? those don't come cheap. It's like, really? That's pretty sweet. That's Hannah and Ben. They spent a lot of time in there with me in the construction phase. Got to wear your hard hat or whatever. It was a lot of if you're gonna homeschool, the whole world's your field trip. It is so much fun. So we were walking around doing, you know, my kids didn't know this, but we were doing like a elementary school construction engineering homeschool curriculum just from daddy's nerdery. So it was a good time. There's the floor. Oh, and there's Ben waving they gave these away at the grand opening. He calls it the terrible towel or something like that. This is this towel. That's my wife, Michelle, laughing at our son, which is basically what we do. And in between Michelle and Ben is Kaya Osier. So that would be Pastor Adam Osier's daughter, Kaya. He's the dean of our Bible college, and he'll be here with the choir. I can't wait. You're going to have so much fun with that choir. That's the outside. You can see the retaining wall, the step up. The idea was to have an outdoor gathering space that you could very easily transition to the inside. And we've never done this either. We brought in food trucks for the grand opening event. I now have this irrational love of food trucks. So if there was a Kuchen food truck, could you imagine? Okay. And what's the other one? The German Fleischkikla food truck. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? That'd be fantastic. Oh, it'd be big. You know what? When I'm done as president of the school, I'm going to start a German food truck. And I'm going to call it, well, you'll figure out a name for me later. Okay, all right. Sean McDowell spoke at the event. He's the son of apologist Josh McDowell. Sean McDowell's about my age. He's really, really good. And he spoke to our students. We went to a local Christian school and shared him there too. And then he spoke on the importance, to our grand opening event, he spoke on the importance of biblical worldview education. Did a really good job. That's him. See, I can't pull that one off. I asked my apologetics and Christian thought class, could I pull off the Sean McDowell look? You know, the cool spiky hair, and then the graphic t-shirt, the Marvel Comics t-shirt, and the unbuttoned sport coat look. No, I can't do that. I'm just not that cool. I can't do it. Yeah, this was the ribbon cutting. The I'll just tell you who's in the middle. That's Pastor Osier. Pastor Molstrey, far right. Pastor Osier, dark suit next to him. So you'll meet that guy. And then right in the middle, on the left, is Phil Johnson. Phil is our building committee chairman. He's a member of the board of trustees. Phil's a structural engineer and got on our board the same meeting that we voted to actually go after the project. And he volunteered to chair the building committee. And we're sitting around, it's like, okay, we should pray about this. it would not have happened without him. To have somebody who was both willing and actually knew what he was doing, it was a game changer. And then Sherry Mork in the white sweatshirt there. Sherry's my assistant. She's also director of donor relations. So if you give to the school or would like to know how to, Sherry is the one that you're going to end up talking to. Sherry has Sherry's the best. Sherry has I can't give you numbers because then you'll start doing math and you're not supposed to talk about the age of women. Okay, but she has worked in donor relations in Christian nonprofits for a lot of years, like multiple decades. Her husband worked 25 years in Richfield, Minnesota, a suburb kind of down by the Mall of America, the airport. He was a lieutenant in the police department, he's a detective. Okay. He had a full 25 career, and he spent 20 years then in his retirement taking ministry materials to Democratic Republic of Congo, which is not democratic, nor is it a republic, but it is in the Congo. And that's where the bad guys have automatic weapons and the good guys don't. You're one of those places. So this is a very, very dangerous place. And so she's a cop. She's a cop wife and a dangerous missionary wife, and she works with me during the day working with them. I get to work with, she's just the best. But I get to work every day with some of the most exceptional people I've ever known. And this team that we have on campus, it is a delight. I love going to work there. I love ministering to the students who are there and then watching them go off and do whatever. And so I see them when they're off doing their thing and we talk or something. I say, hey, start here. Go anywhere, man. You've done it. You know, well done. You're still grounded in God's word. You know, it works. It actually works. It's pretty cool. So that was the ribbon cutting up close. And so much more. I mentioned some of these things. Any of you into podcasts at all? Do you do podcasts? Okay, I like podcasts. Luther for the Busy Man is a daily 3-minute podcast that we produce. It's an old Luther devotional that we got permission to reprint. It's really, really cool. You can find that wherever you get podcasts. And then this summer, Parish Education, AFL Parish Education, will be reprinting it. So you'll be able to get a hardcover in your hand. Luther for the Busy Man is 3 minutes daily from Luther's explanations of the standard gospel texts in something called the Church Postles. It's really good stuff. Today's little tidbit was where Jesus Christ is, there is no sorrow. He's able to take away all of our tears. It's pretty cool. So, annual conference is coming up. If you can make it down for that, June 16th through 19th. I mentioned Summer Institute of Theology. And I've got some other things going on, too, and that's just a smattering. But more or less, we're doing our best to get that Bible college program full. That's a pipeline filler for the seminary as well. And the way the whole flywheel works is good congregational ministry sends students our way. We train them up, send them back to the congregation, and the congregation benefits. And if we can keep that going, no matter what storms come, I think we're going to be okay. And that's all I have. Tonight, 7 o'clock, the topics will be this. Building a Christian worldview. God's story. You have to understand, if you're going to understand the moment that we're in, you have to understand the whole story. If you don't, you're going to see things that aren't quite right. So we'll look at building a Christian worldview tonight. Tomorrow night, how we know what we know, and I'll actually teach you a song that will help you understand epistemology for the rest of your life. Tuesday, we'll do some question and answer. And in fact, I think I have some time after this to do some Q&A too. We'll do some Q&A, and if you, depending on where your questions go or what questions you have or what questions I think you should have maybe, I'll do a presentation called Why You Don't Want to Be Woke, Critical, or Progressive. So sometimes we respond to cultural phenomenon with terms that we don't understand. And what that does is it keeps you from learning what you can from that enterprise. And then it also makes sure that you never really understand it and that the person you're confronting never really understands the gospel. So I'll talk you through some of the negative trends in contemporary Christianity today, what you need to know about them, and how you can respond in a way that affirms our confession of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Wednesday night, proving God, how to do it, why you shouldn't, and why you must. The idea of, well, I don't think God exists, you can't prove him. Well, what does that even mean? How do you interact with that? And I want to show you how to prove the existence of God and why that's kind of a dangerous enterprise, it kind of is, and why you must do it anyway with an appropriate level of certainty and conviction to help your listener. So I think, yeah, that's all I've got. Do we have some time, Kent? 10? Great. Okay, so here's how this works. Nobody wants to go first, so I'm going to ask for whoever would be second. And then if you don't ask me a question, I'm going to pretend that you did and make it up and answer it anyway. So you might as well ask me something. It's way more fun. So, all right, who would be second? Yes. Let's take a look here. That's our athletic logo, I bet. There? There it is. Okay, so C for conquerors. Doesn't really show up at this angle, does it? But from straight above, it does. Good thing nobody ever sees it from straight above, right? So, okay. Yeah, so it's the shield with a cross, and then the open to the right is to get a C in there. That was a great first question. That was a softball. That helped me. So one of our alumni developed that. So who would be third?
So I know you've never do online training for like, you know, that single unmarried, you know, like that 18 to 22, whatever. Would you ever consider doing online courses for those who never went to Bible?
Yes. Yes. So not for credit stuff. Absolutely. The hard part is doing for credit well. That's very hard. And so our program is so focused on teach them in the morning. We don't have classes in the afternoon. So they go off and work in the afternoon, which is a positive thing. And then at night they come back together. And so you have this lab of, you know, living in the same dorm with 50 or 60 sinners, you know, so you get to really employ what you're learning from the Bible. So that's one reason why that doesn't translate as well. However, doing online educational stuff that's not for credit, just for the benefit of congregations, yeah, that's absolutely, some of it already exists. They're not live classes, but there's stuff we've already, if you go to flbc.edu, that's the domain name, Free Lutheran Bible College, flbc.edu, /congregational resources, I think. You'll see a bunch of videos that are on there, and eventually those are going to be more more accessible, but there's some really good stuff on there already. One, Pastor Phil Haugen on the doctrine of election, you know, not like Democrat-Republican election, but, you know, how God calls us to salvation. That one's been viewed something like 1,400 times. It's really, really good. So, yeah, there will be more and more of that. The only thing I'm a little cautious on that one is, it's still better to come together on a Wednesday night or whatever and study the Bible together with your pastor. And I don't want people to start comparing, you know, Phil Haugen to me or whatever when I'm a pastor in a congregation. It's not fair because it's recorded and edited and all that. So, yeah, absolutely, that will happen. SIT this year is Christ-centered preaching and Christ-centered worship. So we've got a guy coming in teaching worship leading. If you have people in your church interested in that kind of thing, philosophy of church music, and then how to lead contemporary worship in a way that it doesn't highlight the style, So getting away from the traditional contemporary divide, but understand content-driven and how to help lead people in worship. So you send somebody down with that if you want. We've got a study on 1 and 2 Peter, which is phenomenal, by Pastor Gary Jorgensen. And we're using that at our church right now, where I attend. And then the other one is, Dr. Nathan Olson, brand new faculty member who starts June 1st. So that'd be, remember Pastor Kevin Olson, that guy? So his son, Nathan, is coming on, and he's doing something on Christian ethics. So that'll be a fun time. Yeah. All right. What else? Yeah, we do this year. So I can't remember if it's 7 or 8 summer teams going out. Last year we had, you probably remember that, we had to pull the plug on it. Last year was so much fun, you know, bursting dreams and bubbles. And I just, you know, just stab your students, you know, over and over again. We really enjoy that. So it was a hard year, man. It was, I remember that Wednesday in March, we had a staff meeting. I said, and I quote, "It's not like we're going to cancel choir tour." And on Thursday, we canceled choir tour. So you couldn't keep up. It's crazy. So anyway, summer teams, yeah, would have been a super bad idea. But this year, I think it's going to be fine. So, you have one? You got one? Okay, Jeremiah? Oh, my, not that team. No, I'm joking. It's okay. So we try our best to send out really good teams. So we look at, so every year what I've had them do is, I want you, whatever your number is, you know, and, you know, show me what the teams look like at N number of teams. And then take one team away and show me what it looks like at N minus one. So what that does is that, do we have 7 good teams or do we have 6 good teams and like expansion baseball, you know, makes pitching worse. Yeah. So we tend to send, what we want to do is we want to send out as many great summer teams as we possibly can. And we don't want to stretch because they're teaching your kids and they're representing the Bible college. I really don't, you know, so, all right. Yeah, I hopefully you'll have a real good time with them. Good. Cool, what else? Anything you want me to cover this week, those of you who are interested in coming, anything you're hoping to get out of this week? Are the youth coming to this thing tonight? Because youth have all these questions about stuff. Because they watch TikTok videos that say things like, God is stupid, God doesn't exist, God is evil, you're stupid, your parents are stupid, so is your pastor and the guest speaker. And then, yeah, so I need to answer that kind of thing too. So, okay, that's about enough. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Fun time. And, for your consistent and steadfast love and care for us and for this congregation. I ask for a good week together, an enjoyable time, that we'd meet some new friends, encourage one another. And Lord, I ask that you would establish us well for whatever life comes with, that we would faithfully meet it as your children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.